Remember all the buzz about the book Bowling Alone? It was published in 2000 and showed how Americans had become disconnected from family, friends, neighbors, and our very democracy. Now a documentary called Join or Die is reviving that research and pushing us all to reconnect. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss the film and a viewing plan for later this week are Oakley Community Council Vice President Joe Groh, Westwood Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation Secretary Carrie Rundle McIver, and Board Member Leslie Maddie Rich. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Joe, you're familiar with the work of Robert Putnam, whose research is the foundation of this documentary. For anybody who's not familiar with his book, Bowling Alone, explain briefly what he found about civic engagement in the United States.
Well, he did a lot of studies, actually, internationally and in the U.S. He worked for the U.S. Consulate Service. So he was concerned politically that people were starting not to show up. They were not as involved as they used to be. So he started doing some studies trying to figure out why that was. And he used the analogy of bowling because everybody used to be in bowling leagues. That was kind of his idea that everybody used to do this. And as they started getting more isolated, it led to the title being Bowling Alone. So what he really did was he tried to do some analysis of what caused that and then had some possible solutions for that. So
Yeah, it was so interesting. He wrote that lots of people were bowling, but they were just bowling by themselves, not in these leagues. And that was bad news for bowling alley owners. And also, he determined not great for us as a society. Why, Joe, does he argue it's so important to be involved? You mentioned that he had done some research internationally. He based that on research he conducted in Italy, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was concerned because in his mind, participation was key to having successful, not only businesses, but communities and national governments and things like that. So he really was concerned about what he saw as the decline in such participation. So,
Carrie and Leslie, this documentary states very clearly that it's about why you should join a club, and it argues that the fate of America depends on it. I'll start with you, Carrie. How did that resonate with you?
Oh, so deeply. I am a firm believer that nothing happens alone. You can bowl alone, I guess, but anything you look at, anything you see, anything we touch in our lives is because people worked together to make that happen. And I think it's really easy to find the things we like and kind of stay in our own little silo, but it's really obvious that things don't build that way. And so for me, it resonated deeply because I think the way to build back into our community is by working together.
What about for you, Leslie?
For me, I think it's this idea of building civic muscle and that it is in our own neighborhoods, on our streets, that when we build those relationships, we're building social capital. Each person is a connector to other things and they have gifts to share. And when we are doing things like being a room parent, or joining a wiffle ball club, or participating in a community council, we are building civic muscle. We're learning how to organize. We're learning how to bring people together. And we're learning how to make a difference about the things that are important to us in our own backyards.
Yeah. And trust each other and build relationships with other humans.
Yes.
Do you have thoughts, Leslie, about when it became the cool thing to say, I'm not really a joiner?
It's very funny because I have two children that say that.
Really? How old are they?
They are a fresh 18-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Okay.
We, as Americans, have a very independent spirit. And so sometimes I believe that to join something maybe is being a part of groupthink and abandoning your independence. And as far as when, I mean, I think I probably started to hear that in the early 2000s. My former career was with Girl Scouts of Western Ohio, and we would hear that a lot from little girls. You know, I'm not a joiner. That message of independence is not really actually true. Just like Carrie said, anything that has happened in our communities, in our country, in our world has happened when people join together. We're stronger together as a collective than individuals.
Joe, did you notice any kind of shift in your lifetime, like a difference between how involved in clubs or groups your parents or grandparents were as compared to your friends and family today? I know Robert Putnam certainly talks about that in his book.
Oh, absolutely. My parents, they were involved with the school activities, and they had like dad's club and stuff like that for the sports. And the parents of the kids I went to school with, they always did everything together. And even to this day, they do. But I personally don't have those types of relationships, in part because I was in the military. I traveled around, but I don't have that. I have some friends I deal with, but I don't have that lifelong thing. And I think you see that in a lot of people where as you are more absorbed in your day-to-day work, in your kids and stuff like that, you become very isolated. And my activities are very club activated. My daughters were swimmers. And my son was a hockey player. So within that community, we did stuff. But outside of that, and because there's so much travel involved within the local neighborhood, I really wasn't that involved. I knew some of my immediate neighbors, but I couldn't tell you what was going on in Oakley before 10 years ago. So
yeah. What about you, Carrie? Do you feel like there was a certain time you started hearing, oh, I'm not a joiner, it's not cool to be a joiner?
So I grew up in Florida and in an environment where my parents weren't joiners. My dad was in AA for a really long time, and he was very involved with the program. So I got a glimpse of it from that. But I lived primarily with my mom and my stepdad, and they were really isolated people who kind of just hung out with themselves. And I always felt a sense of longing, like wanting that connection. I didn't have it, and I had to kind of find it for myself. I have some really good friends who are already tapped into the community here that really helped me, Leslie being one of them. And so for me, it really was like an internal drive. I didn't have it in my environment, but I have a 6-year-old and I want her to have it in her environment. So I want her to come with us when we go vote. I want her to be at events and meetings and neighborhood summit and all of those things, because I think it's really important for her to see community in action, what it actually looks like on a day-to-day basis to do that work and to be involved.
As a 6-year-old, is she interested in being a part of things, or is she sounding like a teenager like Leslie's kids?
She has her own interests, but she understands voting. She is really excited about voting. And so for me, that's a win. I'll just lean in where I can and entertain her other enjoyments outside of that.
We're talking in this recorded interview about a documentary called Join or Die that argues the fate of America depends on more of us joining clubs. Leslie, Carrie, you're both very involved with the Westwood Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation. How tough is it to get your neighbors engaged in that work?
West Kirk is one of two community development corps in Westwood. It's not a fun thing to talk about property development and business development, but when you invite people and say, you know, this is you having a voice in what our built environment looks like, what we want to see in our neighborhood, people want to be a part of it. I know that when I joined the board in 2022, I lowered the average age of the board by about 30 years. However, now, because I have brought Carrie onto the board, I invited her to be a part of it and another friend, the group looks more like the neighborhood. And sometimes I think it's about invitation and saying to a person, oh, you're really good at this thing. And do you know what? We could use you on this community group, or hey, could you volunteer for this one day thing we're doing in the neighborhood because you're really good at that? It can be really easy for people to think that they don't have anything to offer or that they have to be an expert. And I think that it just starts with an invitation and to say, you know, this doesn't commit you for the rest of your life, because that can be a thing too, mm-hmm. where you feel like, oh, I sign up for this thing and I'm never going to be able to get out of it. And so it's also allowing people the freedom to participate in the way that they want. And I'm grateful that the folks that I've invited to be a part of a lot of the community building in Westwood have said yes. And that's kind of spilled into other things where we're seeing community cleanups happen and pop-up events and different things. And we're also learning from other neighborhoods about what they're doing and how they're inviting people. And I think that's also important too, is, you know, there are 52 neighborhoods in Cincinnati, and each of us can learn from each other.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, how tough is that, though? Because especially I'm thinking of, you know, for working parents with young kids, you're juggling all the work stuff. You're juggling all the kids stuff. And then somebody says, hey, come to this meeting at 7 o'clock after you make dinner, do the dishes, get the homework started, like all that stuff. How tough is it to get people engaged in activities like that?
Super tough. Super tough. I'm involved with another organization, and engagement is 100% the biggest ask, and it's because it's an ask, right? And Joe touched on it earlier. We are all inundated with troubles and considerations and people and things and places, and it's just a lot going on. So to put something extra that maybe doesn't feel like it immediately pays off is a lot. What I have found in my own organization is lowering the barrier to entry is key. So for me, like my motto, my ethos is like, I want to reduce the barrier to entry to the extent that, like, I just need your body there. I just need you to show up. We'll do the rest. And ideally, we have done a good enough job that it's engaging and they want to come back, right? And that kind of investment up front, like, somebody has to break onto that dance floor, right? So somebody has to be the one to say, okay, you know what? I'll be the first one to invest. So it's either you invest the time up front to lower the barrier to entry, or you're asking people to invest. And I think when you show up front, we're going to invest this time to lower this so it's easier for you, that tells people you're important to us and we want you here. And that makes it easier for them to reinvest. And one thing that Bob Putnam talks about, or the film talks about, is the idea of social reciprocity and how important that is. And it's not like, well, if I do this, then you have to do this for me. It's a reliance. It's a trust. It's an understanding that if I extend myself a little bit here, it's not going to break me, because when I need it, I know somebody's going to extend themselves for me.
Yeah. Joe, what about in Oakley? You're vice president of the Oakley Community Council. How many people are involved in that group? Is it difficult to get lots of Oakley residents to meetings?
Well, it really depends on what the topic is. Community councils are slightly different from a development corporation, because development corporations are more focused on the real estate development, things like that. Community councils is everything else. We organize events and stuff like that. And we're a 12-person all-volunteer board, so we're trying to get, you know, our time is tough too, and you try to get people to come out. So it's a lot of different fronts you have to approach it on, because in-person doesn't always work. Because we had a different set of attendees when we were during COVID, when we had online meetings versus the in-person meetings. And so we're trying to find that mix of hybrid where we get more people to get involved. But it's the same thing. People tend to not get involved, not really cared until it directly impacts them. Mm-hmm. So if there's a development going on at the corner, all of a sudden they want to show up. And it's kind of ironic. We, as board members, we kind of laugh that the in the last 3 years, the meetings that got the most attendance was when we had a new rec center built. We had to relocate the courts up to another part, and they backed up to a residential street.
What were these, like tennis courts or basketball courts?
Tennis and basketball.
Okay.
And the Recreation Commission, when they put those out there, said, well, we want to put pickleball in.
Mm.
You would not believe how many people were upset about the sound of pickleball. Mm. We probably had 150, 160 attendees at those meetings just because of that. Yeah, and trying to figure out, you know, we're trying to compromise and try to get it in there. But the key is, you know, how do you get people to be involved before it becomes an issue, and get them involved in things just to get involved? So that's the challenge that we face and the development corporates face. So.
Yeah. Well, and I know that the documentary points out the research that the book, you know, did in the 50s, how much more involved people were. But those were also a different time. I mean, a lot of households just had one person working, one person staying at home and raising the kids. That might have been made community engagement a little different in terms of the time people were spending. And it seems like this movie also makes it clear that this call to action isn't a call to go back to a time when there was this segregation by race and gender, right? Is that how you all viewed the movie too and the messages?
Yes, absolutely. I think the movie does a really good job of saying, you know, these were the parts of the past that were good, but we don't want to completely go back to that time. We are a much more multicultural society than we were in the 50s and 60s. Also, we're different in that, you know, women are a bigger part of the workforce. And so that changes a lot of the dynamics. And so for me, a takeaway of the film is saying, you know, let's be rooted in who we are now, but also the power of joining a club helps us build those relationships with people who we might never build a relationship with across differences of age, race, ability, class, around a common interest. And it starts as something fun, like I'm in a run club in my neighborhood. We have people who, you know, have qualified for Boston, and we have people that just walk. The age runs the gamut of people fresh out of high school who ran on their track team to, I think our oldest member is 75. And would I ever hang out with half of the folks in my run club if I had not joined? No. But they make my life richer because I have different perspectives. And that's what I think is the power and beauty of something that we would just write off as, oh, it's pickleball, or it's a run club, or it's a knitting group, or it's a civic association, a community council. Those are the easy ways for us to take out anxiety that we could feel with like building new relationships, because we're building it around a common interest.
Well, the documentary, it shows clearly how this decline in civic involvement and engagement corresponds to declining trust in government, increased social fragmentation, but it does offer hope. And one of the comments in the film that really stuck out to me was, quote, gathering is a craft you can hone, end quote. Did that jump out to you, Joe? Did you feel that as somebody who's so involved in your community?
Oh absolutely, because you're trying to figure out how you could get these people in, especially one of the things, society is much more transient now, especially seems to be on the east side. We get a lot of people coming in. One of the complaints is they feel like they're isolated, like the existing people don't welcome them in, and they don't know how. I get questions all the time, how can I get involved? How can I meet people? So other than going to a bar, that's very true. And that gathering is a skill that a lot of people have, but it's kind of dormant in a lot of people. So you have to give them the reason to get out and do that. Yes, there's a new kid on the block. Okay, how do you get them involved with your kids? How do you do that? To your point about the 50s and stuff like that, like everything was more neighborhood focused. And now we travel a lot more. Like my kids all play travel sports. That didn't happen when I was a kid. You know, we played in the backyard and everything else. So that takes time away from your neighborhood too. So try to find ways to get people centered back in again. So yeah.
Well, Carrie, I know you and Leslie organized a viewing of the documentary and a community workshop that's going to happen Friday, May 15th. Tell us when and where that's going to happen and what inspired you all to do that.
Yeah, so this is going to be at Westwood United Methodist Church in the Epworth Hall, which is on the second floor. Doors will be open at 5, and we're going to have some local clubs and groups for kind of a meet and greet. We're going to have some little prizy things, some refreshments. One thing I'm really excited about, and I got to give credit to Leslie for the idea, we're talking about lowering that barrier to entry, and we're offering childcare, licensed childcare.
That's big.
So for a Friday night at the movies, parents can go get their kids from school. They can bring them, have some fun, some refreshments, have their kids in trusted hands, and then they can enjoy the movie.
Well, Leslie, do you see this event itself, this viewing, as an effort to build community and help people forge connections?
Absolutely. As a part of the event, we're going to have an hour beforehand where people can come in, get settled, meet folks who are a part of clubs and other organizations in Westwood. Specifically, but our goal is that everything that we have learned through putting this together, we want to share with the other neighborhoods, the other 51 neighborhoods in Cincinnati, so that they can do this too. After the viewing, folks are going to have a chance in small groups to meet each other and kind of answer a few questions about, you know, what did they think about this? Does this make sense? Or do you still think I don't know, I'm not really bought in on this. So they'll get to meet a few people that maybe they don't know already. And hopefully a few people will walk away having joined a club or making a connection that they haven't before. Carrie mentioned raffle items. And so sort of as an incentive, if folks decide to get connected with a group that night, they're going to get entered into a raffle for some sweet Westwood swag.
Can't beat that. Well, I have been talking with Oakley Community Council Vice President Joe Groh and Westwood Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation Secretary Carrie Rundle McIver and Board Member Leslie Maddie Rich. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
A viewing of Join or Die, along with a community involvement workshop, is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Friday, May 15th. You can find more information on our website, wbxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.